Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, if you are hearing this tone, beginning, intro, whatever the fucking shit is called, then you already know what day it is. Though it is on Sunday, we are doing a little bit of a mashup. Lots going on, not just in tarot and the stars and astro, not just, you know, Saturn and Jupiter conjunction, but lots of other things. Now, if you pay attention to the things that we talk about and what we do here, then you would know that I'm mostly, sometimes a lot, a very angry person when it comes to the lack of care and action from our supposed government that we fucking pay. If you've been paying attention to any of the stuff that we've done over the last year, then you would know that I'm 100% an angry American. Not just for myself, but for everybody else, too. So I want to say this U.S. government is a failure, top to bottom. Wealthiest country in the world can't get $600 to its people because it might piss off a few billionaires. Now, I am thinking of all those desperate, all those people, including myself, that are desperate for extended unemployment benefits tonight. It's heartbreaking. The abject cruelty, the callousness, the lack of a single drop of fucking empathy, especially during the holidays and a pandemic, which a lot of you have fucking forgot that we are in a motherfucking pandemic. Shame on you. In added tragedy, also adding insult to injury to every fucking doctor, nurse, person, EMT, social worker, anybody who's having to work during this pandemic to be exposed, people who have children, for God's sake, and all for no purpose, but a malignant ego. Now, I want to bring in a few things. The president's at his beach resort in Florida. The vice president is skiing in Vail. 12 million workers lose unemployment insurance benefits today. You know, a lot of people lost a lot of things. And, you know who got stimulus money? You know, people like Joel Osteen, who is a fucking, like, that's a church. Why is he getting money? They don't pay taxes. You pay taxes. I pay taxes. Why are they getting anything? And what are they doing with it? They're not putting it back to the economy. They're not doing things for people. They're not feeding the poor. They're not paying people's bills for them. They're not doing anything but holding on to it for themselves, buying another yacht. Why is it when people say they can't afford rent, it's buy one less latte? If you can't afford to pay your fucking workers, buy one less yacht, you piece of shit. Anyhow, people that are still bitching about Confederate symbols and Confederate statues being removed. Confederate symbols don't commemorate history. They honor a white supremacist system based upon the enslavement of black people. Also, the death of millions of Native Americans. They don't deserve a spot in our public spaces. Now, If you don't love that, I got another one for you. Claiming unarmed black men need to dress and speak differently to not be killed is similar to blaming women and what they wear for being raped. In other words, neither black youth nor women are to blame for the depravity and the hypermasculinity of white patriarchy. Mic drop. Thank you, Boy Dubs. At Boy Meets World. Boy Dubs. Thanks for that, guys. Getting $600 is going to piss off some billionaires, huh? Well, I've got another couple of things I want to talk about. From who's the narcissist in the relationship to religion and then some. But I want to feast your eyes and ears upon this one. Historically, religion has been forced upon the illiterate masses under penalty of death, effectively killing off the free thinkers while leaving behind the fearful conformists to breed those traits into future generations. Even a pregnant mother's stress causes deteriorative brain changes in the fetus, leading to more fear-based reactions. Makes sense, because my daughter, when I was pregnant with her, I went through so much abuse with her dad. It was just constant all the time. It was always something. But she does have that, and she has a lot of issues that she's working through. And I'm going to tell you, my autistic kid is not only smart, she's intuitive, and we're getting words out of her. In the spirit of Christmas. And we're gonna throw a little bit of Christmas in there and where the fuck it came from, and that it's really motherfucking Yuletide. And this whole Jesus Christ thing, this lie to keep a secret that I was basically not a faithful guy relationship. The guy, an angel impregnated me. Nah, somebody was an infidel there. Or maybe she was raped by Roman soldiers. I don't know. But if you were raped and found to be raped by a man, you would be stoned to death. So I could see why they lied. Anyhow, I got sent this little ditty, if you like Death Clock, if you will. The Christmas tree, it's growing on me. It's like having a rotted corpse in your house, but the corpse of a tree. You know, it's dead, and then you humiliate it even further by hanging ornaments all over it like, fuck you. Well, thanks, guys. I love it. Oh, yeah. Keep sending us your memes, man. I'll read them on here. Now, I want to bring up, because it was Christmas, still going through their holiday woes, or as my good friend of mine, in Oklahoma, she let her family over, and she's having to get COVID tests today, so I hope that works out. Now, we're on the brink of a shutdown, but this just in, this motherfucker finally signed the relief package after threatening to derail it. Trump is like an arsonist who starts a fire and then expects people to be grateful when he calls the fire department. So let's hope that stimulus actually does something. I don't know. Most of us fucking using it to pay our bills, feed our children, fucking keep our homes, get things we need. So it's going to go back into the economy, and you billionaires can shut the fuck up. I don't know what your problem is. You're going to get it back in like 3 motherfucking days. I need to try and wrap my head around how many hours of wall-to-wall coverage we'd see on Fox News if Obama had been president when a bomb destroyed a full city block in the U.S. and he disappeared all weekend to golf and didn't bother to even acknowledge that it happened. We literally had a shooting in Illinois at a bowling alley. You know? I just don't get it. I don't fucking understand. Why do you people do this? Now, Mr. Bernie Sanders is a wonderful man. He literally excoriates the House GOP for refusing to back the $2,000 relief checks, because that's really what we need. $600 is not hardly going to do shit, but $600 is better than nothing. Now, we have centibillionaires. Now, there are 5 centibillionaires. They're getting richer and richer. While many people struggle to make their ends meet, but they make cake, right? It's a slap in the fucking face. It really is. To everyone who has to help try and save people, as they tell people on the phone that you're not going to see your family member again, you can't see them. They're talking to them through the iPad that they have. They have a bunch of iPads set up so they can see their family member for the last time. Now, as the government shuts down, people started getting evicted from their homes, and Americans will die at a faster pace than ever. Our so-called president is playing golf for the 4th day in a row. The president is on a ski trip, the vice president, in Vail. He does not give a shit. And if you're like me, and my friend Liam Thomas, who was banned from FB for a day, that's nice, just a day, huh, for calling the idiots in arms white trash terrorists, then join the club. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Now, if Gary, I want to ask this question because I'm hearing a lot of complaints from people. If guaranteed housing, free health care, a job guarantee, and free education are so bad and anti-American, why are those the main selling points in the military to recruit people to join? Make sense? Other countries are doing it better, guys. We literally suck. Now, I want to say that I hope everything that you try and do and accrue happens for you. It's going to be a really rough winter, and we're just getting started, guys. And I'm not sure which is more remarkable, that the president sees the pardon power as a way to reward his friends, or that the president has so many friends who need pardons. You know? What is that? Sounds like white privilege. Sounds about white. What can you do, right? Remember, guys, capitalism does not help those who are poor. It really doesn't. Now, scientists will be set to explore a deep blue hole at the bottom of the ocean. And I do find that that's a little bit scary. But next month, these scientists will enter Green Banana, a 425-foot deep sinkhole in the Floridian seafloor that may contain hidden secrets, including novel microbial life. Now, they're gearing up to dive into a deep, dark blue hole. That's what he said. A rare type of sinkhole in the bottom of the ocean. That is scary, and it's off the coast of Florida next month. Now, the research expedition into Green Banana, the name of the hole, will reveal new insights about these otherworldly chasms in the seafloor, such as the nature of their inhabitants and their potential relationship to groundwater aquifers. It follows another expedition in 2019 that probed the depths of the blue hole called the Amberjack. I'm sorry. This will be the first time that we get to characterize Green Banana. So we are very eager to see how the hole might compare. That's what he said. I can't do it, y'all. I can't do it. That's funny. I really just, it's hard. Chemically and biologically, the different shape, and it's deeper, so we aren't sure what we'll find, they said. That's one of the great things about exploration. Now, blue holes are found around the world can extend nearly 1,000 feet deep, which is the approximate depth of Dragon Hole in the South China Sea. Needless to say, diving into these gaping undersea voids can be extremely dangerous. In fact, the Red Sea Blue Hole in Egypt is among the deadliest diving sites in the world. Now, that being said, these holes are unique biodiverse habitats that may contain corals, mollusks, sea turtles, or even sharks at any given point in time. Also, they provide nourishment to adjacent ecosystems, earning them a reputation as oases of the seas, and making them tantalizing destinations for scientific research. Now, this team of scientists is based at the Moat Marine Laboratory in Florida Atlantic University, Harbor Branch, and the Georgia Institute of Technology and the U.S. Geological Society. With the support of the NOAA's Office of the Ocean Exploration and Research, now the researchers have begun to probe blue holes in Floridian waters. And see. So we believe that they are likely old springs and sinkholes that formed maybe 8,000 plus years ago, when Florida was much wider. Now Hall says that these holes, though she added that there's much more to be learned about the origins and the evolution of the cavern, each hole that they've studied so far had differences, chemical and biological. Now, the team dove into Amberjack Hole, located about 30 miles west of Sarasota in the Gulf of Mexico in May and in September last year. The divers dropped more than 100 feet under the ocean surface before they even reached the rim of the hole, which is itself about 237 feet deep. I can't do this story. Expedition member Jim Coulter, a senior scientist at Moat Marine Laboratory, described the descent into Amberjack as contrasting extremes. Now, at the surface, the water is very warm, 85 plus degrees, and usually clear in summer. But as you descend, the water begins to cool. And thermocline, abrupt temperature change, usually occurs at 70 to 90 feet deep, and visibility is often somewhat reduced. At the rim of the hole is where most of the action occurs. That's what he says. Oh, my God. Fish, turtles, crustaceans, small coral, sponges. Going over the edge and in a bit deeper, the water gets cooler and light begins to fade. A second thermocline occurs around 130 to 150 feet, and the temperature is in the mid-60s. At this point, he said, large marine species like coral and fish are replaced by bacterial clouds, and the rotten egg smell of hydrogen sulfide. The bottom is soft, but silty, and easily stirred up. It's dark until you look up and see the round opening of the hole, framing the blue water 150 feet above. Hall remained close to the opening of the hole during these dives because her scuba training limits her to depths of 200 feet, which is still extremely deep. However, she noted that the wildlife is booming even at the rim of the hole. You get a little bit of adrenaline rush, and the more and more questions start running through your head. What's down here? What does this lead to? Can I go a little bit deeper? Most of the time, they're working collecting water samples, sediment samples, doing diversity counts, but sometimes just for a second or two, they do just to get to look in awe. Now, in addition to widely sampling the habitat, the team discovered intact carcasses of two small-toothed sawfish at the bottom and brought one of them back up, a 12-foot-long male, back to the laboratory to study. Now, these natural marine graveyards are constantly fed by the dead things that float down from above. But the researchers also recorded nutrients emerging from the Amberjack Hole, indicating that the hole supplied nourishment to the marine ecosystem outside. They're seeing much higher concentrations of nutrients in these holes compared to the surrounding water. The source of these nutrients is still unclear, though they may emerge from activity in the bottom of the sediments or as a result of tidal flows or links to larger aquifer networks. They hope to constrain some of these juicy questions during their expeditions into the Green Banana, which is about 425 feet deep from the bottom to the rim and more than 150 feet deep under the sea surface. So nobody is certain of the origins of the name Green Banana, and the hole goes by other names too. But Coulter said that the rumor that the locals named it after a bunch of green bananas that happened to be floating nearby. What? Okay. That's great. They're going to be set to dive in August and May in 2021 and hope to find and probe more of these strange structures in the coming years. That is so interesting and funny at the same time. You know, did they not learn anything from the Meg? Man, y'all got to see the Meg. And I have been so late for my show today because all the craziness going about. And then I was binge watching Dragula with my mom. Yeah, gotta see it. If y'all have Amazon Prime, Shudder, watch it. It's amazing. It's RuPaul who? All right, so millions of Americans lose jobless benefits as $900 billion relief has been sitting on Trump's desk. And at this point, I'm seeing that he did sign it, but what is going to happen? What is going to be? Is this anything? Now, I want to remind you guys, two people died of Ebola and they said Obama should resign. Four died in Benghazi. They had Hillary testify for 11 hours, held 33 hearings, and launched a multi-year probe. 332,964 died thanks to Trump's malevolence, and they cheer him on, deny his election defeat, and try to overturn Biden's win. Sounds about white. That's white supremacy right there. That's so funny. Someone sent me a meme of an astronaut up in space, and he said, "I see no God up here." This guy, David, he goes, "You will when your oxygen tank runs out." Funny. Very funny. Very funny. How many white nationalists sought resumes for Trump's White House? Let's get that tea. Now, we got emails further corroborating the Hate Watch analysis showing that the extreme far-right fringe of the U.S. politics grow bolder due to Trump's rise in the Republican Party and then received unprecedented access to power after he took office. Ann Coulter is one of, I hate her, and I get thrown off Twitter because I fucking hate her. Now, Hate Watch previously reported that both the White House senior advisor, Stephen Miller, and Deputy Communications Director, Julia Hahn, knew VDare founder, Peter Bumlow, before Trump appointed them to positions in his administration at the start of his term. Now, former Breitbart News editor, Katie McHugh, who provided evidence of Miller and Hahn's connections to the movement, also told Hate Watch about the efforts of the VDare activists to influence the staffing of the administration. As with previous investigations, she leaked email exchanges to back up her claims. And one email sent to McHugh on November 10, 2016, shows prominent white nationalist propagandist and longtime VDare author Kevin DeYoung soliciting resumes, which he claimed to be doing on behalf of VDare-linked pundit Ann Coulter. Now, the timestamp show DeYoung sent that email 2 days after the 2016 election. Under the subject line, administration jobs. Katie, Ann Coulter asked if you want to get a job in the administration. She wants names. I mean, you have a better end than me with Steve Bannon and all, but it's something you should consider. Send me a one-page resume. Boastful, as if Ann was writing it, not you, if you can. Great work with everything you did this cycle. Now, DeYoung is a far-right-wing extremist and white nationalist, and he has published nearly 2,000 articles for more than half a dozen white nationalist sites under the pseudonyms James Kirkpatrick and Gregory Hood across the last 12 years, as Hate Watch previously reported while writing as Gregory Hood in 2018 for the white supremacist website American Renaissance. DeYoung defended the formation of countries built only for white people, writing that nationalists are the true defenders of existing nation states. What the fuck does that even mean? Coulter, a fixture in the right-wing media circuit for a generation, emerged as one of Trump's most high-profile backers early on in the 2016 election cycle. Now, Coulter said her anti-immigrant book, Adios America, influenced Trump's run for office in October 2015. Now, this is an interview on television, which aired by Sinclair Broadcast Group, an affiliate claiming Trump read the book cover to cover prior to announcing his candidacy. He did not. He can't read. Now, Coulter's byline first started appearing on VDare's website in 2013. To date, her byline has appeared on VDare's website nearly 400 times across a span of 7 years, now making her arguably the most famous person on it, along with anti-immigration politician Pat Buchanan. Now, McHugh told Hate Watch she first met Coulter at a VDare Christmas party in New York City in December 2014. And Hate Watch reached out to Deanne and Coulter for comment on the email exchange McHugh shared, but they did not respond. Now, McHugh replied to Deanne's email seeking resumes for the administration by recommending that he also apply. Deanna wrote back, "Doing my best. Please put a good word in for Steve Bannon for me if you can. Doing resume as we speak and drinking Trump champagne." Bannon, Trump's chief strategist at the time, served as the executive chairman at Breitbart News while McHugh wrote for them. Now, after McHugh sent her resume to Deanna, he shared a photograph of himself taken outside the White House in front of a crowd of anti-Trump demonstrators. Deanna, wearing a black jacket and a white Make America Great Again cap, gave a thumbs-up gesture and opened his mouth wide in front of the Goodnight White Pride banner and photo. "Had you been there, it would have been the greatest night of my life. I kept thinking of waking you up when Brexit passed. Man, I miss you," Deanna wrote. "But it was pretty awesome anyway. Here's me trolling the Antifa outside the White House." Now, McHugh wrote anti-immigrant posts for Breitbart News at the time, and Deanna solicited her resume, and she associated with the number one of open white nationalists. These associations included Deanna, who she dated from 2013 to 2016, and again briefly in 2017. Now, saying that McHugh has since renounced racism and leaked to Hate Watch an entire hard drive for private messages she shared with Deanna and other far-right extremists during her time in the movement. You don't just stop being racist. Now, they reached out to Brimlow for comment on this story, but he did not respond. Hate Watch also emailed the White House for comment. Deputy Press Secretary Judd Deere, who the fuck is that? Who is Peter Brimlow? After Hate Watch answered him, Deere wrote back that the premise of Hate Watch's story was untrue. V. Deere was looking for good people to help fill Trump's administration ranks. There was many emails, and there were so many who fucking responded. They just want power. It's really sad. You know? It really is. This $600 thing, the USA right now is like, $600? This is $600? Yes. Is the $600 going to help? If you don't want it, give it back. No. Then it helps. Yeah, that's still beyond me that Americans sometimes lack shots, that Middle Easterners can be Christians. Bro, it was Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of New Jersey. How is this fucking news? Like, seriously. And totally, right now, these two dudes are creating leather from cactus, and it will save 1 billion animals killed for fashion. Not all heroes wear capes, but we'll make some out of cactuses. And we will be looking at some things here as soon as it comes up. Trump, if anybody's been paying attention, he has been punishing America for rejecting him. Joe Biden will be president in a month, and until then, the question is how much damage can be done by vengeful, delusional, soon-to-be ex-president, swelling conspiracy theories, and sharing secrets. So he's been telling secrets, giving people shit, and doing stuff to people. Like, giving people shit, pardoning motherfuckers. going golfing, locking himself up in the West Wing, being just an absolute horrible monster. Ah, excuse me. Just, he's a fucking monster. A fucking monster. Now, we're gonna go into some relationship stuff real quick while we still are on time. We have 32 minutes left, so we're good. We're absolutely fabulous. So, okay, thank you. 28, there we go. Thank you. Alrighty. So we got 28 minutes. I'm going to, if you want to know who the narcissist in the relationship, if you're constantly being told that you're doing stuff you're not doing, but you find that they're being very not honest with you, they're being very secretive, they're seeing people behind your back, if you're being accused constantly and you're not doing anything, they're cheating. They're lying, they're cheating, they're doing... If you find that your partner is ruining all holidays, your birthday, but you celebrate theirs, they're your narcissist. Okay? I want to let you know that right now. And y'all, Google will tell you exactly what your man or woman is doing. Seriously. We're going to go into some computer stuff. Here's soon this week because I'm getting tired, you know, of a lot of things, and I'm sure a lot of other people this is happening to them. But I got some tips and tricks on how to know if someone's in your phone, how to catch your spouse doing shit, being fly, going places. So stay tuned on that. Now, if you're a person who is very observant, and your ass notices every small change in tone, delays in responding, lack of interest, and you literally break your own heart, it's called hypervigilance. It's a symptom of abandonment, trauma, and phobia. It's also a symptom of different anxiety disorders, PTSD and OCD. Abandonment trauma is a form of PTSD. Okay? And that's, you know, something that a lot of people have, including people, if your spouse or whoever you're dating is being extra paranoid and they think something's weird constantly just because a change in tone or you don't get to the phone in time, stuff like that, that is exactly what that is. That's hypervigilance, and that can make people think things are going on that isn't, and it could really ruin your relationship, and it'll really tear you guys apart. So be very extra careful when you're being hypervigilant and when you're trying to listen to all those little cues because you have abandonment issues, because sometimes the person that we're with that we don't think is into us, that might cheat on us while we're busy cheating on them or whatever the case might be, they're probably not doing what you think that they're doing, and they probably really are into you. So you could really ruin a really great opportunity to be with somebody that actually does care about you and love you. So when we're doing that, let's try and be careful, and let's go do our forecast. We already know Trump sucks. We already know shit's going down. We heard about our blue holes. So let's see what's going on. We got our Jupiter-Saturn conjunction. Let's see what's in it for this week. From the 27th to January 2nd, 2021. Can you believe it? New Year's Eve is coming, you guys. I'm going to be by myself enjoying some fire poi, I guess, and some weed. Boring ass shit. Anyway, so on Tuesday night, 10:28 p.m., a full moon occurs when the Cancer moon exactly opposes the Capricorn sun. The Cancer-Capricorn polarity deals with balance between the private life, domesticity, the need for a home base, and nurturance, represented by Cancer, versus the public life, career, reputation, and accountability represented by Capricorn. Attachments and love are ruled by Cancer, while achievements and rewards, punishments, are ruled by Capricorn. In some ways, this polarity deals with the balance between unconditional love and conditional love. This one's for you. The Cancer Moon encourages us to value our home base and our roots, while Capricorn persuades us to consider our sense of duty and responsibility along public lines. Now, while Cancer may most enjoy attaching to the home and family, Capricorn urges us to attend to the responsibilities to the outside world. Neglecting either end of this axis will surely backfire on us. Ideally, a balance should be found between the two energies, and this is what the full moon invites us to do. Now, this full moon is about balancing our commitment to our career and families. Something has been building inside of us, and now is the time when the energy of the cosmos fairly demands that we let it out. Over the next 2 weeks, we will discover what this means for us. For now, we can't sit on our feelings. We need to express them. Something is exposed or illuminated, prompting us to get in touch with those things in our personal lives that we may have been neglecting or putting off. With so much attention to our relationships, careers, and personal plans, these days a push for considering our emotional needs occurs now. The full moon is a time of culmination and the promise of fulfillment of that of which was started at the new moon. It is an emotional time, a time of romance, fertilization, and relationships. Eat my balls. This is a time to clear up past patterns that have been holding us back from personal fulfillment, particularly those that are home and family-centered that revolve around our work-home balance and attitudes towards comfort and responsibility. This wolf moon harmonizes with Uranus. It's a gentle eye-opener. However, Venus is square with Neptune and conjunct the South Node, suggesting we should watch for some over-attachment to outdated pleasures, connections, or things. Now, this phase of the moon occurs at 8 degrees and 53 minutes of Cancer, affecting people with the personal planets and points approximately 5 to 13 degrees of the cardinal signs Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, most significantly. Now, full moon in Cancer, December 29th, with additional points. It should be an interesting time. Now, this week, the Sun is in Capricorn, Mercury is in Capricorn, Venus is in Sagittarius, of course, Mars is in Aries. December 21st, 2020 to January 19th, 2021. Motivated by feelings of responsibility, ambition, and respect for law and order, Capricorn derives much satisfaction through completion and accomplishment. Standards, structures, and an appreciation for order are Capricorn themes. Capricorn wants tangible results, knows what is feasible and what is not, and is most comfortable working with an established framework or known boundaries or limits. Working towards a long-term goal is most satisfying with this influence. Mercury, Capricorn, December 20th to January 8th. When Mercury is in Capricorn, our thinking is methodical and our focus is sober and practical. It's easier to concentrate on the task at hand under this influence. Our conversations may be quite realistic and focused on business and practical matters. Our thought patterns and communication styles become more logical, orderly, and organized. We are more able to sort out what is relevant and essential. Realism enters the picture. Our speech is no nonsense, and precision becomes important to us. We need to be wary of becoming too rigid in our thinking. We may come across as cold or harsh. For some, there is a fine line between realism and pessimism. Venus is in Sagittarius, December 15th to January 8th. Moving from Scorpio to Sagittarius, romantic energy shifts from intense to buoyant. Sagittarius, of course, has intense moments, considering it is a fire sign. However, its energy is considerably less focused. And while Scorpio is most concerned with intimacy with a specific person, Sagittarius's love is of a more universal kind. Romantic adventures, as well as a straightforward, even blunt approach to love, are on the agenda. Gone are the intricacy and complexity of Venus and Scorpio. Truth and higher meaning are things that take priority with Sag. Mars is in Aries, January 27th to January 6th. This is longer than usual. Retrograde happened September 9th to November 13th. Mars feels at home in the order of the sign that it rules, Aries, and therefore its power is boosted. Our energy is spontaneous, forward-looking, and even courageous under this influence. Our competitive spirit is well-developed, and our goal is to win. We are active, single-minded, and confident. Our actions are direct. We instinctively find the fastest way to get from point A to point B. The shadow side of Mars, though, in Aries, is tendency to be impatient, arrogant, impulsive, and short-lived, unreflective, and self-centered. Now, Jupiter, the transit of Aquarius from 2020 to 2021. Now, Jupiter enters Aquarius on December 19th and stays in this fixed sign until May 13th, 2021, and then continues its transit from July 28th to December 28th. Now, how this Jupiter and Aquarius transit affects the signs of the zodiac later, let's see what it means. Now, the general trends, the aspects of Aquarius, business, and love. Jupiter expands our experiences, our knowledge, and our understanding. Represents optimism, growth, generosity, and abundance. In Sagittarius, Jupiter urged us to increase our cultural and spiritual awareness, expand our higher minds, broaden our experience and horizons, and have faith in the universe from 2018 to 2019. While in Capricorn, Jupiter urged us to define goals, seek out tangible results, and act ethically and maturely, and take discipled, step-by-step approach to realize our objectives. We focused on our material goals, structures, roles, and sense of responsibility from 2019, December, to 2020. Now in Aquarius, Jupiter expands our awareness of our place in the community and all the needs. Jupiter in Aquarius encourages fairness, impartiality, individuality, and humanitarianism. We reap rewards through being more inclusive and just. We're opening our minds to progress. Now, this will be in Aquarius from December 19th, 2020 to May 13th, 2021, and July 28th to December 28th, 2021. Aquarius is an air sign, and with an air sign and Jupiter an air sign, we are mentally adventurous, ready and willing to learn, into mind expansion and less attached to our traditions than with other signs because we are generally quite impartial and open-minded. We can see many sides to any given argument. When in good fortune with Jupiter in Aquarius, we attract the best fortune. When we are tolerant and fair, inventive, impartial, and cooperative, we function at our best when we have freedom of choice, when we break through some barriers, and when we think outside of the box. We value social reform and positive humanitarian action during this Jupiter cycle. Our attitudes and values concerning religion, moral conduct, education, and politics are progressive, visionary, and original. We also value freedom, individuality, fellowship, and group goals and visions. Still, as progressive as Aquarius is, it's also a fixed sign, and there could be some inflexibility and rigidity with this position, which we'll explore. Now, too much Jupiter in Aquarius? Because Jupiter's nature is extravagant, we must guard against too much. This applies no matter what sign Jupiter is currently visiting. Now, the zeal can supersede moderation at times. It can expand the more negative qualities of the sign, just as it can expand the positive traits. Jupiter's enthusiasm can be well-intentioned, but might blind us to our immoderate behaviors. In Aquarius, we can be reactive and rebellious rather than progressive if overdone. We can also be quite stubborn, especially with it square to Uranus in 2021. We may lack follow-through, living too much in the mind without enough action. We can also be quite erratic with our output, working only when feeling inspired, which isn't always practical. While we're strong on our ideas, Jupiter and Aquarius, we should put a more concerted effort and committed into putting in those bright ideas into action. Theory is great, but applying it is so important. These are possible downfalls to watch for during this Jupiter sign cycle. However, the higher vibration of expression of Jupiter seeks perspective. Jupiter's perspective isn't a detached, analytical, or detailed look at any given situation, but an overview. A look at the big picture. With Jupiter ideally we are able to rise above pettiness, mundane concerns, inconveniences, and the like. Where Jupiter is currently transiting in your own chart, it is generally where you are inclined to find your joy at this stage in your development. This area of your life expands and improves in some manner. There is also a need for new tools to boost and build those areas of your life. In order to develop, we need to pursue our goals with an open mind and keep a spirit of progress in our hearts. This is a powerful cycle in which we feel more grateful for one another and at the same time hold on to a spirit of growth and improvement. It is also a fantastic period in which to improve our social skills. Teaching, mentoring, guiding, and sharing can be satisfying. We see beyond class, religion, and other labels, and we tend to connect with ideas, beliefs, and practices that have a universal nature. While our material affairs were strong focus while Jupiter was in Capricorn, in Aquarius, our concerns are more with altruistic humanitarian causes. It's a great time to put our egos aside to help one another advance, improve, and thrive. We care much about individuality, but we're also very interested in what happens to society or the majority. Now in Aquarius cycle, the good period for astrology, new age thinking, science, electronics, philosophy, and reform, we might prosper through ideas generated or involvement with friends, groups, or community efforts. It's in the world of ideas where we tend to want to grow, improve, expand, and thrive, or it's through our minds, beliefs, and ideas that we can feel, prosper, generosity among friends and groups, and is a strong point of this Jupiter in Aquarius cycle. Revolutionary quality to Aquarius that needs managing, especially with Jupiter, the planet of expansion, involved, we should watch for intolerance of intolerance, our policing ideas, especially with Saturn involved. It's rare, but Saturn is concurrently transiting the sign of Aquarius while Jupiter is in the sign. Now, certainly, it refines the Jupiter cycle, helping to tame the more extravagant nature of Jupiter, but sometimes limiting its expression. However, in the general sense, we're ready to innovate and make progress. If traditions are not doing us any favors, we can break free from them with less sentimentality. Now, Aquarius is capable of detaching where needed and its powerful ability. Causes and movements are in stronger focus as we seek to effect change, overturn traditions that are holding us back from growing. It is a time when we feel more fulfilled as we lift others up. In fact, we may do our best work or make the most progress while we're working toward the benefit of others or society in general during the cycle. Now we're processing and understanding more through the mental function or the use of words at this time, potentially leading to improvements in choosing the right words and reasoning and communicating more skillfully, not only with others but with ourselves. The fact that the north node of the moon is concurrently transiting in the air sign Gemini further boosts this theme. We're encouraged to find better words or means of communication to get through to one another and make progress. We might, for example, find better slogans for movements that are misunderstood, or we might use words to invite more people to partake in our conversations or causes, replacing words that have previously turned people away. We value logic, science, rationality, and objectivity while Jupiter is in Aquarius, more so than usual. These things hold more weight. We are most concerned with people and personal freedom, but we are also strongly aware of the importance of the group and society. Our tolerance, originality, and sense of justice can help us thrive. With work, we need some leeway to connect with our source of inspiration, and pushing this by working set hours can be challenging. We want to draw on our originality, and we seek mental stimulation. A vision of a better world can inspire us, but we should watch for being too theoretical. Concurrent transit of Aquarius might help us with the application angle. Now, during the cycle, we recognize and celebrate differences, but also emphasize the need to join together to improve society as a whole. Trump, get the fuck out my goddamn White House. We thrive when we have worthy cause in mind. We are also stronger at seeing commonalities between people from different groups. Our minds go where others haven't gone. Now, we may see more Aquarian themes and topics in the media as we become more fascinated with Aquarius energies. Now, Aquarius is associated with the lone wolf type, but Aquarius can also be someone who is a friend to people all walks of life. Now, Aquarius is the rebel, the one who's unafraid to do things a little differently or to be ahead of their time in their thinking. We may see more themes spotlighting the inventor, the activist, the absent mind professor, or the eccentric. The friendly but the detached style of Aquarius can be in vogue. People with strong Aquarius influences in their charts, for example, Harry Styles, Ashton Kutcher, Sheryl Crow, Christy Brinkley, Axl Rose, can rise in popularity. Mind you, Saturn is also in Aquarius, so we can also be taking them more seriously. Health issues with Jupiter are usually related to excesses, while Aquarius issues are often connected to the calves, ankles, circulation nerves, the mind, or issues related to detachment or erratic health practices. Now, Aquarius is associated in some cases with rheumatism, electrical injuries related to poor circulation, cramping in the lower leg, and injuries to the ankles. The sign is also associated with oxygenation process of the body, as well as blood circulation. It's certainly possible that latent problems in these areas can magnify during the Jupiter transit. A lower starch diet and breathing exercises are recommended. Jupiter and Aquarius dates. Jupiter zips through the sign of Aquarius, moves on to Pisces, but later returns and spends more time in the last decan of Aquarius due to retrograde motion. It goes as follows. Jupiter travels through the entire sign of Aquarius, December 19th to May 13th, moves on to Pisces on May 13th, turns retrograde at only 2 degrees of Pisces on the 20th of June, and then heads back over to the same ground until it returns to Aquarius on July 28th. Having returned to Aquarius on July 28th, it continues in retrograde motion until it turns direct on October 18th. Now direct, Jupiter continues in the sign of Aquarius until December 28th, 2021, when it moves on for good. Jupiter won't return to Aquarius until 2032. Now, aspects Jupiter forms while transiting the sign of Aquarius. It will be conjunction Saturn at 0, Aquarius at 29. Jupiter at 5 on January 11, 2021, Aquarius at 16, sextile Chiron, which is at 5 degrees, and Aries at 16. Now, in sum, Jupiter conjunct Saturn. Jupiter is going to sextile Chiron. It's going to be standalone. Jupiter will square Uranus, and it will also trine the true north node. Now, Jupiter's conjunction to Saturn is also called the Great Conjunction in a one-time pass, not only drawn-out one, but nevertheless powerful, occurring only once every 20 years or so. Of course, this happens far less frequently in the same time. With Jupiter and Saturn conjunct in Aquarius, we value practical accomplishments on human technological levels, and it marks a time on focus of restructuring. And it's a powerful prompt for new beginnings. We're taking on the first steps to grow. Our vision empowers us, and it's a practical one. We avoid the waste of overestimation, and although some underestimation is likely as a trade-off. While we could be working hard, we're not working against the grain for the most part. Their support or our realistic confidence supports us. We're inclined to focus these rebuilding and reforming energies and visions on our humanitarian impulses, contributions to society, social life, technological development, causes, and friendships. In some ways, this can be considered a reset button, a chance to build anew. Now, Chiron in the sextile prompts us to explore our capacity to understand and comprehend our relationship to our beliefs, our understanding of the truth, and the desire to share, guide, teach, and learn. It's a one-time pass coloring much of the month of January 2021. Our attempts to broaden our horizons through such experiences as furthering our education, expanded activities, or spirituality contribute much more to our personal growth during this period. This subtly lit uplifting time brings us the opportunity to free ourselves from restrictive and negative attitudes that have been undermining our progress. We are especially open to learning from others and better able to help others understand our perspective. We might open our minds to different views and philosophies. We are absorbing and possibly sharing what we've learned from the past experiences and mistakes to an incredible time to understand and improve due to the openness and humility. Around the same time, Jupiter forms a square to Uranus, and our capacity for change and innovation enlarges. We need to be willing to make up mindful changes in our lives now, or else change can feel forced upon us. This is a rebellious, restless influence, one in which we should avoid stirring the pot mindlessly. We might take risks, perhaps foolish ones, for the sake of freedom. This is not an ideal time for financial speculation or travel. We too easily avoid taking responsibility for things that truly matter during this transit. However, we might not open ourselves up to new ways of thinking, which can be magical. Changes, as a matter of course, can be chaotic, but they can also turn into interesting and useful detours. It's best not to jump too quickly into new adventures. as follow-through may not be easy at this time. Impulsiveness can work if we're in tune with our needs, but it can lead to mistakes if we're not. We should watch for making decisions while in the freedom of an at-all-costs mindset. If we feel rushed, we might throw ourselves into a decision just to be done with it. We might find it difficult to agree or to find something in common with others. We need to make changes, but not now. We will not know when and where. There will be bursts of rebelliousness, and if we are not in touch, we should probably avoid making dramatic or abrupt decisions until we're clear about what we want. It can be tempting to push impractical projects ahead, but we're likely to face obstacles if we do. This transit seems to stoke the rebellious side of Jupiter in Aquarius. Do tap into the desire to innovate, learn new things, and open your mind in unconventional ideas. Don't jump into too many new things if significant resources are on the line. Now, in the node of the moon, February points to a willingness to grow, learn, improve, and develop, moving past our fears. We are ready to embrace new methods and attitudes, leaving behind those no longer serving our growth. Jupiter encourages us to embrace our visions, and its trine to north node helps us balance our vision with our intuition. Our consciousness is well-developed, and we want to help others. We're more inclined than usual to believe in the power of the group. This transit increases our desire to connect with like-minded people or those who can help us push us into the direction of growth and improvement. We might form relationships with others who broaden horizons, expand our minds, our worldview, or deepen our personal philosophy. We seek more meaning in life, and it is a fine time for publishing, community involvement, teaching, guiding, learning, harmonizing through shared ideas and ideals can figure very strongly at this time. And I think that it will be a great change, and I cannot wait until Trump is completely removed out of office. I honestly, it is completely amazing right now that we did it. You know, we voted, we got in there, and it's just, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you motherfuckers out there. And then all the rest of you pieces of shit who voted for Trump, who are out here hurting people, being racist, taking advantage of those who are poor, shame on you. Shame on you. And let's hope that something good happens. That people can pay their rent, that kids get to eat. And there's a lot of people that aren't going to. And I want to remind everyone, wash your hands, wear your mask. Don't fucking go out to eat and take off your mask to eat, okay? Don't do it. If you take off your mask, it's over. Black Lives Matter. Women do not deserve being raped. We need to end this paradigm. This glass ceiling needs to be broken. Remember, everyone, we're in this together. Trump fucked everybody. And let's hope that this transition into power actually changes things. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and I'll be on tomorrow. I'm going to try and go to bed early enough. I got chores to do, but I will try and be up. My schedule's all fucked up. My daughter's not in school. You know, everyone's out. So I'll be on in the morning. I'm going to try and be on before noon. We'll do some tarot readings. I'm here for you. I love you all. Zen Rider out.